vuol dire che nel... no.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. This week, I've got a couple of videos that I recently did. One is on the most important bug out bag supplies, and the other one is 21 items that preppers should stockpile or hoard for a disaster. And by hoard, like I said in the video, I don't mean the disorder of hoarding. I mean it more along the lines of if you have a savings account, you're putting money into that, you're hoarding cash. But these items are the ones that I always talk about, the small details. Pay attention to the details. And these are the supplies that aren't quote unquote preparedness supplies, you know, the survival supplies that you'll see on a bunch of different articles. But they are the things like glue and tape and cordage that are going to be necessary, and you don't know exactly what you need them for until you need them, but you're going to be glad you have them. So with that, before we get into that, I just wanted to mention for members of the bug out location, I've got a few things on the table that I'm going to be doing here shortly. I've got a few videos that I need to upload. I'm working on the Prepping 101 course, and I've got some food storage things to put on there, and I am working on those. We've gotten quite a few members recently, and I just wanted to let you know. I've also got a few resources, a bunch of resources actually, that I'll be putting on there as well in the next couple of weeks. So watch out for that. I'll also be sending out an email once I get all of that done. If you are currently a member, you're already on that email list, so there's nothing you have to worry about. If you don't think you're getting those, you can go to your profile page and add yourself to the list again. If you aren't a member, you can become a member over at thebugoutlocation.net and check out the website, all the courses and the resources and everything I've got going on there. But just want to let everyone know I'll be adding to that here in the near future. But with that, let's go ahead and get into this first video today talking about the most important bug out bag supplies. And this is a tough one to do because everyone's bug out bag is different and it's set up differently. But there are some base supplies that are important for every single bug out bag. So let's go ahead and get into that. Why is it when you talk about bugging out, it's a last resort for preppers, yet most of us, if not all of us, have a bug out bag? Why spend hundreds of dollars putting something together that's more than likely not going to be used in a large-scale disaster? To me, there are a couple of different reasons for this, and the main one being the same reason we get auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance. We hope we never have to use that, but if we do and we are in a situation where that becomes important, we're going to be glad we have it. And the same thing applies to a bug out bag. It may not be some large bug out type situation. It could be something much smaller. Just like your homeowner's insurance, it might not be your home is completely destroyed. You may just need to replace the roof. The same thing applies with a bug out bag. The second reason is that it's a micro preparedness kit, meaning it encompasses all of the different areas of preparedness. So if you are just starting out and you're trying to learn all of these things, you can do it much more cost effectively by putting together a bug out bag than putting together 3-4 months worth of preparedness supplies. You can learn about all these different aspects and then build your way up. A bug out bag is meant for 72 hours or less. But the supplies in that bag are the same supplies that you would need whether you're talking about 3 weeks, 3 months, or something over a year. So regardless whether we think we're going to use it or not, and we hope we won't, it is something, one of those essential prepping supplies and one of those essential prepping kits that we do need to put together. So in this video, I want to talk about the top 10 supplies that you'll need in your bug out bag. And these top 10 supplies are pretty universal, meaning they're going to be in every person's bug out bag. After you take care of these supplies, that's where you start to personalize and you start to think about things like your environment and where you plan on going, what is in between the area that you are and the area that you may possibly go, and what sort of resources and the weather and all sorts of different things that factor into that as you begin to customize your bag. But these are the main components that everyone should have. All right, so let's start with the first one here, and this is water and hydration tools. Water is the most important aspect of survival, preparedness, and just everyday life. We can only survive a few days without water, so this makes it a really critical survival item. Now, as far as a bug out bag goes, you're probably not going to be able to carry or going to want to carry 3 days worth of water, which would be around 3 gallons of water. That would be pretty heavy. So you're also going to need other supplies to help you clean water and also have the ability to find water and think about those where that would be during your route. You've got water bottles, you've got hydration bladders, a few different things that will allow you to accomplish this. Along with that, you'll need a small portable water filter and even some water purification tablets. The MicroPures from Katadyn are fantastic. You've also got the Aquamira tablets. While water may be the heaviest item that you do put in your bug out bag, it really is the most important. And just because we can go 3 days without water doesn't mean we want to. Water is going to give you the energy to get things done. If you've ever gone on a hiking trip or a long walk, you know that it's only a couple hours until you really start to get really thirsty. So having that water may not be necessary to survive on day one, but it is something that you're absolutely going to want to have. Now, moving on to the next one here, we have food. And while food isn't necessarily critical when you're talking about 3 days or 2 days, but it is something that is going to help us, just like water is going to help us along our journey. We need the energy, the stamina, and we just need the will to keep moving. You've got the ration bars, which are packed with calories. They don't weigh very much, and you can pack them into a small space. You've got trail mixes, a lot of different things. You've got the MREs, the mountain house type meals that you could put in there. Just think about these types of foods that don't weigh a whole lot, that offer a lot of calories, and something that you can snack on the move. Something that maybe doesn't necessarily need to be cooked. Although if you are looking at a situation where you do need to camp overnight, maybe one of those mountain house meals where you boil water would be good to have. So food is one of the important ones. It's not necessarily one where if you run out, all is lost, but it is something that is going to help you maintain your stamina in a situation where you are trying to get from point A to point B and you are trying to do it as quickly as possible. All right, number three here, I have shelter and protection from the elements. And you'll notice that the first three I have here are food, water, and shelter. And that is because these are the three main things we need to consider regardless which survival situation we are talking about. And with a bug out bag, you're talking about 72 hours. So you're talking maybe spending one or possibly two nights out under the stars. And the type of shelter also depends on the time of year and your environment. Shelter also isn't just a tent or a tarp, something to cover you, a sleeping bag. Shelter can also be what you put on your body. Your clothes are also shelter. So socks, pants, coats, rain gear, all of that is shelter. Anything that will shelter you from the elements and keep you warm, we need to think about. In the context of a bug out bag, you're talking about tarps, you're talking about maybe bed rolls, wool socks, you're dressing in layers, maybe a small tent or even a hammock to keep you off the ground. There are a lot of different options, and it's really up to you what you decide to put in your bag. So number four here, I have a first aid kit and first aid supplies. And just like your automobile, if you get a hole in your tire and you can't patch that up, you're not going anywhere. The same thing applies in a survival situation. If you have a sprained ankle, even if it's just cuts or scratches, you're going to need a way to treat those wounds before they become bigger issues. When it comes to supplies in your bug out bag, we're talking about a pretty small kit here, not something like you would have at home that is for wound care and treating something over the course of a few weeks. We are talking about having the basic supplies that you'll need to dress a wound until you get to the point where you can address that situation further. So the band-aids, the gauze pads, the splints, the Steri-Strips, the tapes, all of the different supplies that we can think of need to be included in a bug out bag first aid kit. And it's also a good idea to have some trauma supplies in your kit, whether you're talking about chest seals, tourniquets, or quick clot. But make sure first aid supplies are included in your bug out bag. And at number five here, I have fire starting tools. And fire starting tools are important because they sort of go in conjunction with everything else I've talked about already. The first aid, the keeping warm, protection from the elements, and cleaning drinking water. So fire starting tools are not only important to be able to cook your meal, to start, you know, keep yourself warm. Having a fire could be important for a lot of different reasons. Fire starting tools should start with a Bic lighter, the easiest option possible. Yes, we all like to watch these videos about different fire starting supplies and how to, you know, do a friction fire, things like that. But the easiest and quickest way possible is going to be your best bet in a situation like this. So make sure you do have that ferro rod, the flint and steel, maybe some fire starting materials to make your job easier. But make sure you have a Bic lighter or two in your bag as well. They're super lightweight and it's just going to be much easier than the other options. I usually try to keep three or four different ways to get a fire started in my bug out bag, whether you're talking about stormproof matches, the ferro rod, the Bic lighter, you've got the Frenzel lens, and you've even got the char cloth, which will help you get a fire started. Next here on my list, I have cordage, and this is one of those supplies you just never know when it's going to become important. Now, cordage could be the prepper favorite paracord, the 550 paracord, or it could be wax jute twine, whatever works best for you. But cordage is going to be important in a number of different situations. If you have to put together a shelter, you're going to need to be able to tie that to a couple of trees. If you are putting together a field expedient water filter, you will need a way to tie some things up and get those three levels working properly. Cordage is just one of those things that should be included in your bug out bag because it's a supply that you're going to be glad when you have it. I carry about 100 feet of one continual length of paracord in my bug out bag. You can also put paracord in your shoelaces. They've got the bracelets and lanyards. A lot of different techniques where you can include cordage in your bug out bag that isn't necessarily just one roll. So cordage is one of those things. There are a bunch of different options as far as where you can do it. It doesn't necessarily need to be in your bag, but having that on you and having the ability to use that is going to be important in a number of different situations. So I think cordage is important to put in your bug out bag. Number seven I have here is a metal container. And while most people include this in their bug out bag, not everyone does. But having a metal container will give you the option to cook something if you need to. It will give you the option to boil water if you are in a situation where you didn't bring enough with you or you didn't want to bring that much with you. And you find some water, you'll be able to purify that water. And it's something you can carry water in the first place. So if you are carrying a liter or two of water, you may as well have it either in a hydration bladder or a metal container, and possibly even both. Putting a couple plastic water bottles in your bug out bag is going to be okay, but if a situation does arise where you need to boil water or you need to cook some food, that plastic water bottle is going to do you no good. So I think it's a multi-purpose item that makes a good addition to your bug out bag. Okay, so moving on to number eight here, I have a knife or multi-tool. And honestly, I'd probably say a knife and a multi-tool. A knife is one of those survival tools that are just important in so many different situations, whether you're talking about self-defense, whether you're talking about hunting or trapping, or building something, putting together a shelter. A knife is going to be one of those essential supplies that you need to have with you. A multi-tool is great because it gives you a few different options as far as most of them have small pairs of scissors, screwdrivers, the hex heads, an awl if you need to sew things together, a small file, and a knife included in them. So multi-tools are those sort of, I think of them as better than nothing tools. It's not going to beat a 6-inch fixed blade knife, but it is going to have a knife on it. It is not going to be EMT shears, the scissors, but it is going to have scissors on them. So it's a better than nothing type item to have in your bug out bag. And just like a lot of these other ones, it is multi-purpose. And while I think a multi-tool is important, it shouldn't replace the knife. So either have the knife or have both of them, but don't forego the knife for a multi-tool, because a quality survival knife is going to be more durable than a multi-tool that folds up and has a bunch of different points of failure. On to the next here, and this is a flashlight or headlamp, and sort of like the knife and multi-tool, a flashlight and headlamp is probably the way to go here. There are a lot of different options when it comes to the size and weight of a flashlight, so that's really up to you as you put your bag together and you weigh it. This could be one area where you could decrease the weight by getting a smaller flashlight that may not be as bright, but it's going to be as bright as you need it. A flashlight, just being able to see at night, to whether you are putting together shelter, whether you are collecting firewood, whatever you're doing, having light at night, being able to see, is going to be crucial in any sort of survival situation. So having a flashlight is one of those most important prepping supplies. A headlamp is great because it offers more functionality, meaning you can put it on your head and you can use both hands to get things done. So flashlights make it on my top 10 for bug out bag items, as well as just in preparedness in general. Whatever the disaster or emergency situation is, when that sun goes down, we're going to need to be able to see in order to get things done. So flashlights and headlamps are very important. So coming in at number 10 here, and this doesn't mean that it is the least most important, but this is quality footwear. And this may not be something that you keep inside your bug out bag. Maybe it's something that you hang on the outside of the bug out bag, or maybe it's something you keep in your vehicle in anticipation of being in a bug out situation. But quality footwear could end up being the most important item on this list. I mentioned car tires earlier, and basically these are your tires. So if you get a flat tire, you are not going anywhere. So taking care of your feet with the first aid kit, that also includes putting moleskin in there, but having good quality footwear and keeping your feet healthy and ready to go is important, just like making sure you get a car tune-up and you change the oil in your car and you make sure you've got tread on the tires. That's the same type of thing. Make sure your feet are taken care of, because they are going to be doing most of the work. And when it comes to quality footwear, you're thinking about the comfort, but you're also thinking about maybe having it waterproof, shoes that are going to be durable and withstand the 72 hours that you might be out on the road, the different environments that you might be in. So make sure you put a good investment into some quality shoes. The hiking boots at Walmart may look nice, but I guarantee you after a few miles, you're going to realize how cheap these Walmart hiking boots are. So don't go cheap when you're talking about the shoes on your feet. All right, so that's my list of the 10 supplies I think are the most important in a bug out bag. And like I said in the beginning, you take care of the fundamentals first, and then you start to expand and individualize your bug out bag depending on your needs, your environment, and what situations you feel like you might need to use that in. I also want to mention a couple of things that aren't necessarily supplies, but they're really important to consider when you're putting together a bug out bag. And the first one is to make sure you're practicing with your bug out bag. Make sure as you put this together, you've measured the weight, and if you're at around 30 pounds, which is the average for a bug out bag, go out and walk with that for a couple miles and see how you feel. Do that on a regular basis and you will get better and better with it. And if you do need to carry a few more pounds, you're going to be able to do that because you've built up the stamina to do so. Also, make it a habit of taking your bag everywhere, even if it just sits in the back seat of your car or truck. Get in that habit. Having a well-stocked bug-out bag that is going to get you through any disaster or emergency situation that you can think of for a couple of days, having that tucked away in the basement or a closet, isn't going to do any good if you are somewhere else when that disaster strikes. So make sure it is something that you take with you on a regular basis. Like I said, even if it just sits in the back seat waiting for that situation where you need to strap it on and get out of Dodge. All right, so like I said in the beginning, bug out bags are really individualized, and it's really hard to say what you should and should not have in your bug out bag. It all depends on your skill set, your age, your geographic location. There are so many different things that will be a factor in what you decide to put in your bug out bag. But that was my list of the most important ones that should be included in every bug out bag. So let's move on to the next one here, which is the 21 cheap preparedness supplies to stockpile or hoard. And as you listen to this, I know there are probably hundreds of different supplies that aren't necessarily preparedness supplies, but could be added to this list. So this is sort of some of the main ones that I thought about and a jumping off point, but it shows that there are certain things we get so inundated with, you need this supply or that supply, but there are a whole lot of things that on the surface don't seem like the supplies we need for survival or surviving, even just getting through an emergency, but they are super important. And like I said, there's probably 100 more at the very least. But let's go ahead and get into this video talking about the 21 preparedness supplies to stockpile. I mentioned in a previous video that I did that it's usually the smaller things that can ruin a perfectly laid out plan. We need the food, we need the water, we need some of these higher cost supplies. But there is a huge list of lower cost everyday items we need to have available when disaster strikes. These things may not be the quote-unquote life-saving supplies that make the headlines today, but in a disaster, they're going to be the why didn't I think about that or the I wish I had one of those type supplies. Today, I want to go over a list of 20 low-cost everyday items that I put together that we should be hoarding or stockpiling that will be beneficial in a disaster or an emergency situation. And also, most of the products that I mention on this list are going to be some of the best bartering supplies or bartering items if that scenario presents itself. Now, before we get into this list, I want to clear up something real quick because I'm bound to get comments like I always do whenever I say hoarding. There is a difference between the definition of hoarding and the mental illness of hoarding. And prepping is completely different than the mental disorder. The definition of hoarding is to amass, whether that's money or valued objects, and hide or store away. That is what we do as preppers. Hoarding is when you just collect stuff just to collect stuff and you put it wherever it will fit and you have no idea what you have or where it is. That is basically the opposite of preparedness. So when I say hoarding or when preppers talk about hoarding, it's more along the lines of if you have a bank account, you are hoarding cash. And a lot of people think that preppers are the cause of these shortages when things go sideways. But the reality is, we buy or we hoard these things now to avoid being part of those shortages. All right, so I'll get off my soapbox here and I'll start going through this list. I'm going to keep these short and sweet. I don't want to waste an hour of your time talking about trash bags and paracord. A lot of these don't need that much explanation anyway. Number one I have here is lighters. And lighters are an indispensable tool for preppers, and we shouldn't just have one or two, we should have a bunch of these. Lighters serve multiple purposes like starting fires, sterilization and repair tasks. They're compact, we can have one in a bug out bag, an everyday carry, in our pockets. Lighters are just one of those things that it's a must have when it comes to preparedness. And while you can get some of the cheaper lighters, say that you would find at the dollar store or Walgreens, the Bic lighter are probably the best. You also have the Zippos and other lighters, but I think the most reliable lighter that you're going to be able to get is a Bic lighter. And number two I have here on the list is matches, the stormproof matches. And there are all sorts of different kinds of matches that you can buy, but the stormproof matches are going to be the most reliable ones. You also have the longer stick matches to help get a fire started, which is going to be a whole lot easier than using one of those lighters. But matches, and particularly stormproof matches, are great to have. They're low cost. You can get a bunch of them. They don't expire necessarily. So you can get a bunch of these and just store them anywhere. And this is something you can get a bunch over the course of time, and you'll have plenty when the need arises. The next one I have is fuels. And this is not necessarily one of the lower cost items on this list, but it is one of the most important, whether you're talking about butane, propane, firewood, alcohol for alcohol stoves. Having the fuel necessary is going to be vital in any sort of emergency or disaster situation. Along with these, you need to have the stoves, like the backpack stoves or the alcohol stoves or the indoor burners that use butane, like I have the Iwatani. Whatever cooking method or heating method that you have, make sure you have all of these fuels and have thought about ways to cook in a disaster. Next on the list, I have toilet paper. And I know this is not necessarily a shocker to anyone or something you haven't really thought about, but I'll tell you what, in a survival situation, in a disaster or an emergency situation, this is one of those you don't know what you've got until it's gone type items. Sanitation and hygiene is going to be critical in a situation like this. So making sure you have a large stock of toilet paper and you are good to go for an extended period of time is really important. Next, I have bleach. And bleach is one of those that maybe you don't want to have, you know, 50, 60 gallons of bleach stored. But bleach is one of those things that you'll want to have a few gallons at the very least. Bleach is a powerful disinfectant. It can be used to purify water. It can be used for sanitation and safety reasons. Sanitizing surfaces, tools, or equipment, helping to reduce the risk of infection and disease transmission. So bleach is one of those products that is useful in a bunch of different areas and a bunch of different applications. So bleach is one of those things that you should have in your stockpile, and how much you have is really up to you. Number seven here, I have bars of soap. And while a lot of us don't use bars of soap anymore, I don't. I usually use the all-in-one body wash because I'm a guy and that's what I do. It's just a whole lot easier and a whole lot cleaner. But bars of soap will not only be beneficial to maintaining your sanitation and your hygiene, but they're also a good bartering supply as well. The shelf life on soap is going to last longer than the stuff that you would get in the bottle, the shampoos or the body washes. And it can be stored a whole lot easier. They come in different sizes. You could even make your own soap. Next here, I have trash bags. And the king of trash bags is the contractor yard bags. We should have at least one or two boxes of those. But the other trash bags are good to have as well. The ones we use on a regular basis, you can stock up more on. You've got the larger black trash bags that you use for picking up leaves and things like that. But trash bags are one of those multi-purpose items that isn't just a sort of a container. It can be used to waterproof things. That could be yourself. It could be used to seal up windows or to black out windows. So trash bags to me, and like I said, assorted different sizes, are just something that we should have on hand, and as many as you think you need or you can store. Next, I have the really cheap solar blankets, and this is sort of along the same lines as the trash bag. These can be picked up for like $1.50, somewhere in that price range, and they are multi-purpose. These can be used to make shelter. They can shelter yourself, be used as, you know, as they're intended to, the emergency blanket, but there are a lot of other uses as well. And as thin and as small as these are, they are pretty strong. So because of their price and because of their usefulness, I think it's good to, you know, get 30, 40, maybe even 50 of these little solar blankets and have them ready and available if you need them. Next, I have zip ties. And while there are other options to fasten things, zip ties just make it really easy. and also ensures that you have something fastened properly. We can, you know, there's different types of knots and we can use cordage, but a zip tie sort of takes all of that out of the equation and you know it's going to work. There are a number of different situations where zip ties would be necessary. And like just like everything else on this list, they are easy to store and you don't have to worry about the conditions and things like that. So have a different assortment of sizes of zip ties. And it's one of those things where you're not going to miss it until you actually need it. So I think zip ties are one of those that everyone should have and should have an assortment of different sizes. Number 11 here, I have different types of tape, and the main one being duct tape and even electrical tape. Duct tape is that, you know, the go-to. You can basically fix anything, or we think we can fix anything with duct tape. But in an emergency situation where we may not have access to the tools or supplies that are the right tools and supplies, duct tape is one of those things to get the job done, even if it's temporarily. You've also got electrical tape, which for electrical wires keep you from shocking yourself, but can also weatherproof things. And you've got the painter's tape and the Scotch tape if you do need to put up film over your windows or black out your windows. You can use that painter's tape without damaging things. So it's just important to have a bunch of different types of tape laying around. And this is whether you're talking about a disaster or whether you're just talking about everyday life. And sort of along the same lines is cordage. And cordage is one of those things that is useful in a number of situations. You've got the jute twine, you've got bank line like I have in my bug out bag, or the prepper favorite paracord. But cordage is going to be useful in a lot more situations than we even realize. Even if you were at home, in a bug out situation, it's critical. At home, you just never know when it's going to be useful. And then to wrap up this little section with the zip ties, duct tape, and cordage, I've also got glues. This is sort of my MacGyver section where these are the supplies you're going to need in an emergency or disaster type situation. If you need to put something together, if you need to do some sort of DIY filter or repair some damage around the home, these are the things that you're going to want to have on hand. They've got the really strong types of glues like the E6000, I believe it's called. You've got the wood glues, you've got super glue. I think it's good just to have some of those laying around. Yes, you could do quite a bit with duct tape, but it's not going to do as good of a job as glue, or maybe in conjunction with glue, you're going to have a stronger hold, stronger seal. So I think all four of these are important. The glues, the cordage, the duct tape, and the zip ties. Like I said, you know, sort of the MacGyver type stuff. The emergency think on your feet supplies. Number 14 here, I have flashlights. And this is one of those things that all of us preppers that have been doing this for a while probably have 10 or even 20 different flashlights laying around the house. But flashlights are really important. You can get some of these really cheap. You don't need the $100 flashlights, although one or two of those aren't bad. You can buy some lower cost ones. Just have as many of these as you can or you want. I have a bin that I store some of these cheaper flashlights in, some of the extra flashlights. I have flashlights in almost every drawer of my house. And if it does come down to a situation where you have a friend or neighbor that needs one, you can hand off one of these smaller, cheaper little flashlights and not worry about it because you've got plenty extra. Or in a barter situation, a $2 or $5 flashlight is going to be worth far more than that in a situation like that. So flashlights are just one of those things over time you can collect, buy one here, buy one there. Why not? It's one of those why not pick up a few items. Next on my list here, I have instant coffee, and instant coffee isn't nearly as good as regular coffee. So I also suggest you have a percolator or a French press, something like that. But in a situation where maybe all you're drinking is water, coffee may not be a lifesaver, but it's going to feel like a lifesaver. You can put these smaller packs in bug out bags, get home bags. And because they are smaller and individually packed, they make great bartering supplies. So I think instant coffee is good to stockpile. Next on my list, I have Band-Aids and bandages, medical tape, those types of things. Band-Aids, medical supplies, you can never have enough of anyway. You just never know. And that's one of those things you do not want to run out of in a disaster or in an emergency situation. So having a good stockpile of Band-Aids that you build up over the course of a year, maybe 2 years, doesn't mean you need to go out and buy it today. But Band-Aids and bandages are one of those supplies that it's good to just have a little bit extra of, whether you are talking about an emergency or just everyday life. Next, I have batteries, and I probably should have put this right after flashlights, but batteries are really important, and you can get the lower cost batteries. I've researched this quite a bit, and there are some lower cost batteries that you can get on Amazon that have basically that are the same as the Energizers or the Duracells, just at a much cheaper price. I do suggest, you know, if you are worried about that, make sure and go with the Energizers, the Duracells, the batteries that are going to last. But think about the batteries that you need. Think about the supplies that you would need them in, and make sure you have an assortment of each of those and enough of each of those that are going to last you an extended period of time, whether that's a power outage or other emergency. Next, I have hand sanitizer. And hand sanitizer, we saw during the pandemic how important hand sanitizer was and how quickly that disappeared. So I think having quite a bit of hand sanitizer on hand is something that we should all do. An emergency situation could mean a lack of running water. So the ability to take showers, the ability to clean ourselves is going to be severely lacking. So having hand sanitizer and things to you know, help us keep from getting sick are going to be really important. And again, this is one of those, if you buy the little smaller bottles, great for bartering. And something that will go first when people are panic buying. We saw this during the pandemic. So stock up on some hand sanitizer. And finally on my list here, I have wet wipes. And this is for sort of the same reason, that's sanitation. It may be a few days or even a week before we're able to take a shower. And even if we are able to take a shower, unless you've got a solar shower or some way to heat up water, people in your family are going to be pretty hesitant about taking a shower in the first place. So having some wet wipes on hand will just help maintain that. Now, over the long run, this is not a good solution. This is not something where you're using wet wipes to clean yourself for a month straight. That's not very sanitary. But if you are out working in the yard or fixing something and you don't have the ability to take a shower, this is a good way to just clean your hands, clean your arms, clean your pits, whatever you need to do. So I think having wet wipes on hand and having a bunch of them is something that we should do. All right, so that's it for this week, everyone. After listening to that, I'm sure while you were listening to that, you were probably thinking about five or six other things that could be on the list as well. And like I said, it's almost endless how many things could be on there. But you just never know when some of this stuff is going to be useful. And we don't know what disaster is going to strike. We don't know which emergency might occur. All we can do is prepare the best we can, have a well-rounded preparedness plan, and have a lot of these different supplies around just in case. You just never know what's going to be necessary. And that's sort of what preparedness is all about, is increasing your odds of survivability in any sort of situation. We can't predict what's going to happen. All we can do is make educated guesses and do the best we can with the situation that we are in. So at any rate, that's it for today. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I am working on some things over at the Bug Out Location website and the Bug Out Location YouTube channel. I have quite a few videos over there that aren't audio friendly, I suppose. Like with this one, I talked about 20 important bug out bag items. I also have a video over on the Bug Out Location YouTube channel that goes through my detailed list of the things that I keep in my bug out bag. That is not very audio friendly. That is more of a show and tell type video. So that is over there. Same thing with my DIY solar generator, my everyday carry kit. Those are more, they're not audio friendly. So make sure if you're interested in those, jump over to the Bug Out Location YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in the Bug Out Location. You'll find it there. And you can have a look at those videos, check those out, and make sure you're subscribed while you're over there. But a lot of the videos will be for audio for this podcast. But again, there are some that just are not going to make any sense if I try to upload the audio over here. So make sure and check those out if that interests you. But with that, I am done here today. Appreciate everyone listening. Until next time, take care and prepare. We will talk to you all later.